WHAS.
You're with 84 WHAS. Terry Miner's here. One of my longtime radio buddies is John Quincy. He works in South Carolina now, but he's in Louisville for a couple days here. What do you say there, Johnny boy?
Hey, Terry Miner. Nice to see you, bud.
You and I were working together when I first started in Lexington.
Yep.
Mid-70s, latter part of the 70s.
78, 79, yeah.
Yeah, in there. And it was funny. Our careers were just beginning, and we both hung in radio, and I can't say that about a whole lot of people I know from when I started out.
We're just too stupid to do anything else.
Exactly. That's the way I like it. You've put together this website, 79waky.com, and it is immensely successful. There are a lot of people who have just really relished the opportunity to sort of revisit a radio station, a linchpin radio station in Louisville history. And that's had to be pretty rewarding for you, the response.
It has been. It's the radio station that got me into radio to begin with. I was inspired by Wacky back in 1970. I came to Louisville for the first time. Well, not the first time, but the first time with a transistor radio. And I was 15 years old and listened to Wacky, and I said, this is way cool. I've got to learn how this is done.
Didn't that signal get to Lexington where you were from?
I didn't pay attention to it. I was just, you could pick it up during the day in Lexington, but it just sounded cool, you know, being a local station, being able to hear it 24 hours a day. Heard people like Dude Walker and Gary Burbank and Johnny Randolph and Bill Bailey and... Just the whole presentation of the radio station was exciting, the kind of music that it was playing. And when I got back to Lexington, I said, I've got to learn how to do this. I went to the local stations in town and a couple of years later got on the air and started getting paid for it. And I've been doing it ever since.
Well, yeah, you were already an employee of WBLG. I know that frequency still exists.
What's 1300, yeah, in Lexington. That's where I was when you were at the FM 98.1 Double Q.
Right. And what do they call BLG now? What does it do? You don't have any idea? I thought you knew every radio station in America. You're letting me down.
I think it's all sports or something, but it's not doing what we did in 1978.
So where do the new DJs come from if there are such a fewer number of jobs available now? Because as people, the public understands, there are people who sit in studios here in Louisville, and they do a show in Memphis and one in Tulsa and one in Pittsburgh, and they can call themselves by the same name, but you just send it out by computer. And so there are three less guys, let's just say. So obviously the total pool of young announcers isn't what it used to be. So how do they staff the radio stations of the future?
I think they get people that aren't quite as talented as they used to be. You don't have that farm league that you used to have. And some of the guys that would be on in stations such as markets like Charleston or Lexington or maybe even Louisville, you would have, back in the 70s or 80s, you never would have thought about putting somebody like this, you know, in one of your prime day parts. Nowadays, it's like, hey, you know, you work for minimum wage, we'll put you on the radio, no problem.
That doesn't happen here.
Well, maybe one of the other clusters in town.
But it's just, but you have to ride the wave. You have to stay up with the times. And a lot of people can sit around and say, oh, the good old days, the way we used to do it. Well, you know, you can't be stuck on that.
You don't miss playing records on the radio, do you?
No, but it was fun. I mean, it's a nice part of my career, but I don't miss when I first came on HAS 20 years ago. I played three or four songs in this hour and five or six in the last hour of my show. And then after a while, I said, you know, we're paying $400,000 a year for music rights, and Terry uses five songs a day, and our all-night guy uses music, and no one else does. So long, music. That was the end of it. But then you just learn to, you know, adhere to the new world order, as it were.
Yeah.
All right. I have to play one clip from old school radio. This is 79WAKY radio in 1972, and it involves two people that I'm close to. That's Bill Bailey, of course, the legendary morning man. I just saw him a couple of days ago. I'm going to see him again tonight at this reunion. And Reed Yaden, who works for us now and again, too, because he does weather on on WHAS 11, and then he winds up coming in here now and again and does some NASCAR stuff for us, too. And so he and I have had a long partnership. So here are the two of them from 33 years ago. Just a little bit of
green spring at Wall Street.
Well, the first thing I heard this morning from my radio was your introduction to your 20 before the hour sports report, Mr. Yaden. That's the reason why I was a little bit late this morning. By the way, I wanted to mention this morning, I plan to mention this two or three times, that Thursday night they're going to have a series of softball games out here at St. Helens Field in Lively Shively. Now, the first game at 7 o'clock will be between Alan Hamilton and his deputy sheriffs. And Thursday night, St. Helens Field in Shively. First game is at 7 o'clock and is for the Marty Axman Memorial Fund. Are you feeling well this morning, Mr. Yeaton?
Well, pretty fair. The old hay fever's going wild or something.
Isn't? Well, I'm sure it is the hay fever, man. All this humidity we've had the past few weeks is enough to cause a problem such as that, Mr. Yeaton. Let's go to work, sir.
Bill Bailey would always say that to Reed Yeaton, put me to work. Put me to work. And then Reed would say something about, now with the most music, here's Bill, the Duke of Louisville, Bill Bailey, and then he'd play a song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that was a big deal. But Reed was a young news guy at that time, and it's just funny to listen to them talk about, you know, Shively and St. Helens and all those the various people that are around. And then Bill was on top of everything. He could get in. He could be the hornet in everybody's brow. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's terrific. He's doing well.
And he still has it. We went by to see him earlier today and got a chance to meet Bill for the very first time. I've talked to him in person. I've interviewed him. But he's still there. The mind is still sharp. The voice is still there. I mean, he still is the Duke of Louisville.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Always will be.
And what he did, and what I've tried to explain to people before, they say, well, why are you hung on this one guy here? Well, I know we've had a lot of talented people. The late skinny Bobby Harper was a big deal in this city.
He was only here for like 6 months or so, 9 months maybe.
But he made an impression. I mean, there were people on that station when it first started. But what they did was kind of move it out of the doldrum era and sort of brought a little, they brought a whole lot of nonsense and outrageous behavior to radio, too. And Bailey would challenge authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't sense that any tapes I've heard that we had a guy who would name names, call out the mayor or the county judge, and call them buffoons. And he would get in the middle of certain political issues. I was reading some article that you had posted at 79wacky.com where he had gotten in the middle of some police union dispute or something. I was like, that's Bailey. But that sort of changed the framework for radio people in this market anyway.
Would you call him a shock jock?
No, but he broke down some barriers where he just opened a few new paths where people could express themselves. Mm-hmm. In a more vibrant fashion, whereas before people were sort of in the old announcer with the hand to the ear, reading off a card. This is the big 84, and that's if it wasn't on the card, they didn't know what they were going to say.
Yeah.
And Bailey came in and he read a lot. He knew the news. He knew what was going on in the world, and had a little spin he wanted to put on it. And he liked it. He could throw in zingers and barbs, and so that made him essential to Louisville's radio growth.
Yep,
I feel like. And he did a marvelous job. And then we've had a lot of other really talented people come through the market. But I'm glad that tonight there's a get-together. Now, the public's not invited to this. I haven't given out the address. But
We would love to have something together for the public, but unfortunately the room would not be large enough. Hopefully next year we'll get together and do a wacky WKLO reunion on a weekend and give everybody plenty of time and invite the public and give people a chance to meet the old disc jockeys they used to listen to.
Because both those stations were fantastic. That was a great rivalry in the 60s, principally the 60s and 70s. Wacky and WKLO and teenagers just popping back and forth on their buttons.
We expect a few fist fights tonight.
Right. And KLO, didn't they speed up the music a little bit?
They did. They sped up the music a lot, especially those John Denver records. But in that case, it was a good thing because they were over faster.
They would just toy with the music a little bit, and it would just give the station a more vibrant beat.
Yeah, and the thought was that if you heard the same record on Wacky or another station in town, it would sound draggy because KLO's music was faster. But they actually had the turntables, I think, instead of playing 45, they played 48.
Mm-hmm.
48 RPM.
Johnny Randolph used to run WKLO, then ultimately went to Wacky, and then when he was on Wacky, he found a way to overpower their signal. It's a technical thing, but he figured that an engineer wasn't paying attention.
Oh, that's a great story.
He hooked up a thing to make the WKLO signal. The guy didn't know it, but they were on there promoting Wacky, their competition.
Yeah.
And it went on for an hour or so, didn't it?
Yeah, what he did, the statute of limitations have run out, so you can say this now, but he snuck into the old WKLO. He knew where everything was. He knew that the engineer out at the transmitter site never listened to the radio station. They had one phone line, no call waiting. He was always on the telephone, so you could never get to him. So he snapped a phone line, hooked up a little cassette recorder, and played an hour straight of WAKY jingles on WKLO. It was great.
John Quincy operates the 79WAKY website, .com. It's 79WAKY.com and 1080WKLO.com. They're terrific. Anybody that loves old Louisville radio will love those. So thanks for keeping those up.
Thanks for having me on.
Big party tonight. Good to see you. Let's go to Mark Travis, Swope Discount Auto Center, Skywatch 84 Traffic.
All right, Terry, thank you much. This report is a service of Big O Tires.